Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. You're listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, where we're going to get volleyball season started. We have Sean Carter, Associate Head Coach for Wichita State Volleyball. The Shockers started practice last week. They're in the middle of two-a-days, getting ready for the season opener, which will be later this month. Tournament at Arkansas State also includes Tennessee Martin and Missouri State. Home schedule starts in September with a tournament that includes Creighton. So, Sean, give us the schedule. What are the Shockers working on now? Where are you at in this process?
We are just, I think, currently trying to get our rhythm back, just getting started. This last week, we're taking things a little slower than normal. We're just really trying to spend a lot of time with serving and and passing. Those are two really important skills all year long, but you can make a pretty big difference between you and the next team if you can set yourselves apart in those two skills. And we're going to spend a lot of time evaluating the setter position as well as some attacking positions that also will do a passing, digging type role. And then from there, we'll try to formulate a lineup, and we'll hopefully be ready for our first match.
So you had the oddball schedule last year where you had some, you practiced in the fall, had some public scrimmages, and then you played a 17-match schedule in the spring. Obviously much different than what you usually do. How is that? Has that affected anything? Has that changed the way you're approaching this fall?
I don't think so. It was, I mean, we just played certain teams more often. It'll be nice to play everybody. I mean, we enjoy our bus rides, so for us, that's, I mean, at least for us coaches, that's nothing different, because that was our life when we were in the Valley. But I think the girls will be excited to, you know, get to go to the East Coast and play those schools, and obviously you just get a balanced schedule that way. So you really get a conference champion, and from that, and our league's going to be really, really good. So I think we're ready. So I don't think things change too much.
Lots of new faces on this roster. Give us an update kind of overall, the construction, how things are looking from that standpoint.
I think it's just everybody's trying to get to know each other, obviously trying to get new kids settled in. We have Kayla Newsom, who's new. She's a transfer. She's got here early this summer. And honestly, it just kind of seems like she's been a part of the team for a while. She doesn't act like a new person. She seems like she's fit in right away with our girls that are here. So that's something you'd love to see just in practice. And then we also had one of our freshmen, Anna Lee, here early. And same thing. She certainly doesn't look like a freshman as far as skill and talent, and just her mental qualities. She's just really, really good, really mature, so she fits in really, really well. Obviously we have two new foreign players, and then we have Addie who's coming off an injury, so those two getting, or those three getting them acclimated, just will be a little bit tougher, but that takes time, and we're here to help them all, and we'll get there.
You mentioned the setting position. The Shockers have Casey Litzau back. She's got some good experience over her time here at Wichita State. Haley Pluggy is back. How's the setting position unfolding?
We're as deep at that position as any, especially in my time here. We have four setters that are very similar in what they'd be good at. They're all kind of have the physical stature to be what we call a 5-1 setter that can play all the way around. I mean, everything will come into who ends up winning that position. Setting decision making will be a big one. The biggest one will be who sets the ball in the best location. And then it's just the defense, each player's defensive ability, and then their serving. So it's all going to come down to, I mean, it's going to be really, really competitive because we have some very good kids in the gym. So I'm interested to just see how that plays out. And it's, from a coaching standpoint, it's great to have more talent and more options But, you know, at the same time, it can be much harder on players when there's just that many competitive people in the gym, so every practice kind of matters. But they're all doing a great job, so I'm really happy with where we're at with the setting position.
So are we more likely to see some 5-1 this season than maybe we've seen the last few?
I hope so. If I have any thing to say about it, we will. We just, our lineup and each player's strengths just kind of play towards that. Now, that's not to say we won't, but we're in a position where that's going to be the lineup, I think, this season, barring something crazy happening. We just have too many people that we can place in those positions that allow us to be in that lineup. And we have some really, really good DS liberos, so we can get more of them on the floor, which definitely makes defense and passing better. And nobody's going to say no to those things.
Yeah, you've mentioned Chris Lamb and yourself, really happy with the liberos, with the defensive specialists on this roster. Why is this group performing so well?
I mean, I don't know if so much the performance yet. I think we're going to have to – that will remain to be seen once we get a few more statistics on them and what are they passing and all of those kind of things. But just the sheer effort that they're putting forth and their willingness to do all the digging things that Chelsea and Lambeau have been doing with them and just not complaining about being on the ground 100, 200 times a practice and being bruised and bumped and black and blue on your elbows and things like that, that just can wear on these guys. These guys just, I mean, they're like fetch dogs. They're chasing after that ball all day long. And that's nice to see. So they're doing those things at a pretty high level in those drills. So if our passing and serving from that position can be where we want it to be, we're going to have at least two, if not three, of those guys likely on the floor in some capacity this year.
Lily Likwe is probably the returner fans would be most familiar with. Brent Stansbury is also back. Take us through some of the people at that position and how things are shaping up.
Yeah, Lily came on strong at the end of the year and really earned her being in the jersey. Brent Stansbury is likely the most improved of all of them. Kylie Manaris is, I mean, you can make an argument those two for sure have made the biggest jump from where they came walking in the door to where they look like they're at now. So I'm just really happy for those two. Hopefully they can get some positive reinforcement at some point and find themselves on the floor. But as far as where they're both at, they're the best volleyball players they've personally have ever been. And then, you know, Anna Lee is great. She is a true freshman and certainly doesn't look like it. She wasn't even the libero on her club team in Houston, and to me it's like mind-boggling. And like, I would love to see what that kid was supposed to have looked like, because this is a college starting libero at some point, if you ask me. Just that. And then we have Lara, who's an elite talent from Turkey. I think for her the hardest thing is just, you know, understanding the things we want from her, because me and Lambeau both talk fast and, you know, she's learning the language and that kind of stuff. So she'll make a massive improvement also as, you know, her English gets better. But, you know, she's as good of a true freshman walking in the door as we've had here in that position. So we're loaded all over the place with kids we like at that position.
You mentioned Laura from Turkey, and then you have a setter whose name I will let you pronounce.
Zosha. So we're pronouncing it Zosha. She may tell you different things. I call her Z or Zo. That's probably going to stick at some point if she likes that. But Zosha is how we say that.
Z, that would be a good one. International volleyball players, how would you describe the difference between, you know, their experience, what volleyball is like there, and the American high school player that we're obviously familiar with?
It depends on the level, but some of these kids that we've at Wichita State have been able to get interest from have been kids that have played, you know, against 22 and 23 year old women. So the competition for some of these guys on the other side of the net from what they've been playing or where they've been playing at is just a higher level than even the elite 18 and under club volleyball that we would have here in the United States. Now, that's not to say that that's everywhere, but like Zosia played on Poland's junior national team and has played at a really, really high level. Laura was in the highest league, just below where, you know, you would be considered a professional, for those clubs. And, you know, the club that she plays for some of the best, you know, players in the country. So there's girls on our Olympic team that are over in Turkey playing, like Kelsey Robinson, and there's a bunch of others that have been over there at some point. So, they have a really, really good leagues there. So just the level of play that they've seen is high. So they come in with just that. And then a lot of those girls just want to be professionals when they're done. And then I just think it takes a different level of commitment to leave your home country, not know the language. You must really want to do volleyball in school. And that's what we've seen with just motivation. And it's nice to not have to motivate your players when they already are very motivated themselves.
Where does volleyball rank in those European countries compared to maybe women's basketball, women's soccer, track and field?
That's a good question. I think in Turkey it's like really popular. I think women's basketball is kind of up there. And then soccer, they say football, is always popular. But they just see it more because there's professional leagues there, where we don't have that here. So I think popularity might be a little bit higher. And so they're just more acclimated to, you know, wanting to be a professional volleyball player because they know there's tons of professional leagues and levels of teams all throughout Europe and other countries.
Sophia Rowling is back, earned all conference honors in the spring for Wichita State. Tell us about Sophia's fall so far. What's next on the progression for her?
Sophia's really motivated. I think she's just, you know, more than anything else, it's probably keeping her patient with herself and her own progression because it's in her brain, it's probably never good enough. She wants to be elite right now, and she wants to be really, really good right now. And I think she wants her team to be really, really good right now, and I could see her being someone that I'd love to be the leader of our team. I just hope she gets her voice at some point, but her performance will kind of lead her into that role. That's just usually what happens. But her next progression is, you know, how long will it take us before we can have her out there all the time and never coming off the floor, because that's really the goal. But, you know, there's other things that, you know, we got to get her, you know, better at, you know, maybe a little passing, but certainly digging, serving is there. And then obviously the blocking, attacking is, you know, she was a first team all conference player last year. And we're just only scratching the surface, I think, with her.
So if you've got an athlete like Sophia who you want to have a larger voice and their performance is trending in that direction, how do coaches go about encouraging that, fostering that?
Well, I just think we try to create an environment where she feels comfortable of, you know, speaking up and saying things when it's time to say it. But honestly, I think maybe coaches speaking to that or dubbing captains is just, maybe it was different like when I played, but now it's like those girls that say they want to be leaders on teams, they're going to have to do the hard work with their team on the court and off the court, because you got to walk the walk, because girls they know what you're saying and what you're doing. And if, you know, I've had teammates and things in the past in my playing career that, you know, they would want to be a leader, but then they'd go be doing this outside of off the court, or they wouldn't be doing the things they need to do on the court. So people know hypocrites when they see them, and for that, I just think it's you earn the respect in that leadership role. But we'll be trying to encourage those kids that have a voice to keep speaking up, keep demanding more from coaches, teammates, and that's going to make us better.
Middle blocker, take us through that position. How are those people looking?
Great. There's Addie. We got to get her back from her knee, so she's probably dying to get out there again and do all that. But for us, it's getting her healthy, and then we'll certainly be able to get her up to speed. So I have no worry there. The other three are really, really good. I couldn't be more happy with those three players. I think Lauren McMahon has just done a lot of work in the off season, just getting fit, and just she has a bigger voice. I think she just has the personality that our kids like. She's fun. I think she's really funny, but she's very serious and very competitive, and those are all the things I want in an athlete. And then Natalie Foster is just, I think, leaving off right where she left off the fall, and she came on down the stretch, and she seems way fitter than she was walking in the door. So that's credit to her. Hopefully those guys will keep that going. For us, it's just going to be how can we keep them healthy. And then Morgan Stout's an elite athlete. I don't know if I've ever had a kid that has her kind of athleticism. Abby Lehman was kind of a freak, but she was really, really tall, and she jumped pretty well, but was really long. Morgan is just so explosive. She's so fast. She jumps, she gets off the ground so quickly, and she flies. She's going to be a really good blocker, and she's going to be a really good attacker. We just got to keep her healthy.
Let's wrap it up. Talk a little bit about the American Athletic Conference. I would imagine UCF and Houston, probably two of the top teams. Give us an idea. What do you think the American is going to look like this fall?
Yeah, I think everybody's chasing UCF, at least in my opinion. They do a great job. And then Melville is, one of a kind of talent. She's like the Lily Johnson of our conference, if everybody remembers Lily Johnson from Missouri State a few years ago. Got every award you could think of and that the conference has, and it's well deserving. So having a player like that, but also having a player like Anna Marie Watson, and and they have I think a senior Morovic, middle blocker. So they're loaded everywhere with really good talented players, and they're old players, so they're going to know what they need to do. They've been there, they've done that, so they're gonna be a fun team to kind of chase after. And then obviously Houston's on the rise, and they have one of the best, if not the best, outside hitter in their league, or in our league, so they're going to be really, really good. And then everybody else, it's you better not sleep on them. Temple easily could have been in the NCAA tournament last year. They had a great end of the year. So you better be ready to play every night in our league, because if you kind of think, oh, this might be an easier one, you'll lose. And we just got to be ready, and I think our girls are ready for that.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you.